Sup, you beautiful bastards. You're watching the Philip DeFranco Show, and I gotta ask, have you seen a more beautiful chocolate chip cookie? Like, I literally stared at it 20 seconds ago, and I was like, I can't wait to put you in my mouth. It's gonna feel so good. And then I did, and she surprised me. There's some macadamia nut in there. I think there was a little bit of coconut. I mean, one second, this is rude.
Gulp.
I'm gonna save that for between stories, because we got a lot of news to talk about today. So buckle up. Hit that like button to let YouTube know you like these big daily dives into the news, and let's just jump into it. Starting with, so I got a good news, bad news situation for you. The good news is that one of the key figures behind a global monkey torture network has been charged and will likely go to prison. But the bad news is there is a thing called the Global Monkey Torture Network, right? And the person at the center of this is Michael McCartney. He's a 50-year-old, he lives in Virginia. As you can tell by the flag in the background, it's heritage, not hate. But the biggest issue with this man isn't whatever his opinion is on tearing down Confederate statues. Instead, it's about how he's accused of making money off the distribution of videos depicting the torture, murder, and sexual sadistic mutilation of animals, and specifically juvenile and adult monkeys. Right, basically, McCartney ran chat rooms in the encrypted messaging app Telegram for, quote, monkey torture enthusiasts from around the world. Which again, just the fact that monkey torture enthusiasts is a category of people that exists is so profoundly upsetting. But anyways, in these chat groups, McCartney was known as Torture King. And these so-called enthusiasts would share their messed up ideas for torturing monkeys, including lighting them on fire, injuring them with tools, and even putting them in a blender. These ideas sent along with payment to people in Indonesia who would actually do these things to the monkeys and record it. And actually, the BBC reported on this network in an investigation that came out last year. And in this video, you can actually see one of the Indonesian filmmakers talking to an undercover BBC reporter and laughing as he describes hurting monkeys. And I will warn you, like, while it is not graphic, it is still hard to watch and listen to.
Oh, that is make me so angry. I put a hat and I like a wolf. And, you know, blood out in the mud. That's so good.
So that man was actually arrested, but his sentence was only 8 months, which happens to be the maximum sentence available for torturing an animal in Indonesia. And then on the US side, McCartney faces up to 5 years in prison, which a lot of people also think just isn't enough. And then on top of that, you have people annoyed that it's taken so long for justice to catch up with them, especially when you consider the fact that McCartney actually admitted his role in the network to BBC last year, with him even reportedly describing himself as the king of this demented world. But then, of course, law enforcement having to do its own investigation, and it's only now that we're starting to see some consequences. Because in addition to McCartney, two other Americans have also been charged with the same crimes, and they face up to 5 years in prison. Those being David Christopher Noble, a 48-year-old former U.S. Air Force officer who was previously court-martialed and dismissed from the military, as well as 35-year-old Nicole Devilbliss. But then over in the U.K., two women being arrested on similar charges. And in fact, the BBC reporting that more charges are expected to follow soon, and noting that at least 20 people were placed under investigation last year. Which makes sense, because this network is extensive. But while people in the U.S. can be charged for distributing this type of content, it's not necessarily illegal to possess it. Which is why I want to end this story with some questions. Not only what are your thoughts on the situation in general, but also what do you think the punishment for this should be?
And then,
y'all, we need to talk about the so-called anti-diet movement. Right? Because one, it has absolutely exploded in popularity over the past 2 years, but also two, an investigation by the Washington Post and The Examination just blew the lid off the lies being pushed by many of its most prominent voices. Now, a thing that I really want to stress right here at the top is that the anti-diet idea, it started out as a well-meaning cause, right? Just trying to combat weight stigma and counter the excesses of diet culture, with a commonly targeting people with eating disorders who genuinely need help learning to feel okay eating normal foods. But when the big food brands entered the mix, they hijacked the movement to promote their ultra-processed junk foods chock full of additives, sugars, and artificial sweeteners. And the way they spun this was so fucking clever. They didn't just blatantly encourage people to just eat stuff that'll literally kill them early, no. Instead, they framed this as derailing the cycle of shame around the choices people make. Or in other words, getting rid of the bad foods, that's less important than getting rid of bad feelings. A message that just so happens, oh, what a coinkydink, to coincide side with the financial interests of companies that sell bad foods. And so we've seen anti-diet hashtags spreading far and wide on social media. Stuff like no bad foods, food freedom, ditch the diet, health at any size, calories don't count. And the reason these hashtags work is that they piggyback off of the legitimate movement to stop body shaming. But of course, body shaming is not the same as food shaming. And food companies have taken that concept past the point of absurdity. They're seeing things like a General Mills executive saying a proposed FDA rule that would label foods high in salt, sugar, and fat is just shaming, and promising that they're doing everything they can to stop it, which according to the Post means lobbying the federal government and funding studies that claim their cereals are healthy. You know, and we're talking about the sugary ones like Cocoa Puffs, Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Trix. Which I gotta say, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, that's my jam. It's not healthy, but that's also why I treat it like a treat. Like, it's a dessert for breakfast, and the idea that labeling things correctly so that your consumers are more well-informed, that is shaming. It's so stupid. But it's also not a coincidence that a statement that stupid would come from General Mills, right? It's been leading the anti-diet charge with a huge multi-pronged campaign, with them getting at least 10 registered dietitians to promote its cereals on TikTok and Instagram last year. And understand, they are not hiding these efforts. They are boasting about them. Because you wouldn't expect a food and nutrition conference to have dietitians climbing up a giant General Mills cereal box and sliding into a bowl of Cheerios. That is literally a thing that happened at the event in Denver last fall. Of course, the cereals and food industries more generally have done the same sort of thing, with a post in the Examination finding that of the 68 registered dietitian influencers they analyzed, roughly 40% of them with a combined reach of over 9 million followers repeatedly used anti-diet language, which depending on what exactly they said isn't necessarily bad on its own, but also a majority of that 40% were paid to promote products from food, beverage, and supplement companies. And with all this, you have the post giving examples like how one woman fell upon YouTubers advocating for health at every size and took their videos as permission to eat, in her words, whatever the hell I wanted, with them reporting that she then did that and within 2 months she regained 50 pounds that had taken her years to lose, with her going back up to nearly 300 pounds. And again, I would need to stress this. I am very anti-diet culture. I am very anti-body shaming. As many of you know, because I've talked about my health journey over the past several years, the thing that has worked for me the best is the idea of body neutrality. That is about what my body can do, not how it looks. And a big part of that has also been changing my relationship to food. Right, for me, there are no foods. It's just realizing that some foods, yeah, they're not good for you. But that doesn't mean I can't have them. I just have to have different amounts than I previously had. I used to order 4 or 5 Chalupa Supremes when I went to Taco Bell. It would be 9 o'clock at night and I would fucking house a whole box of Entenmann chocolate donuts. Eating past the point of I'm full, like I just wanted to feel something. And unfortunately, it took me having health problems to really go like, I gotta change how I'm viewing this situation. Because understand, you should not hate yourself for being any fucking size. In here, however you want to think about it, you are not more or less because of your size. You're a human being deserving of love. But it's also important to recognize the dangers of failing to take care of your body. And while there's no shortage of examples of that, I mean, according to a 2022 Lancet study, they found that nearly 500,000 Americans die early each year as a result of excess body weight. And many of the paths that were paved to those graves, it was from lobbying money. Because it's not in General Mills' interest for you to have their bad food, but only a reasonable amount of it. They want you to have more of it, all of it, as much as possible. So be careful what you believe on social media, especially when they're the extremes. Whether it be extreme diet culture or eat fucking everything and anything that you want culture. There is nuance. There are complexities that are just fucking cast aside because it's like, we gotta make this video tight. We gotta make this thing shareable. And it's in my best interest to keep you alive and healthy so I can milk the fuck out of you when you buy Beautiful Bastard shirts. I'm kidding, but I do love you. I'm just so fucking concerned for people. There's just so many like unseen forces of manipulation out there, whether it be for monetary or power gain. And the victim of almost every one of those situations is everyday people. And then we should talk about our douchebag of the day. Because I don't know if you needed another reason to think that it's a bad idea to get into the food industry, or if you're in the food industry, another reason to hate being in that industry. But we gotta talk about a Burger King employee who almost lost his life because he gave a customer a discount. A man was saving someone money, helping them, and somehow that person pulled a gun on them. And so all of this went down in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, with 38-year-old Howard Vernon telling Cleveland 19 News that he was just working at Burger King on Easter, when all of a sudden a man pulls up and he orders 2 sausage egg and cheese croissants, a sausage biscuit, and hash browns. And that order ended up totaling a discounted deal of $8. But
he was like, my order can't be right. It came up to, it should be like $11. And I'm like trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on. And like, it's cheaper. He started cussing and getting all loud. And I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know why you want to pay more money.
But that customer then driving off. But as Howard was helping another person in the drive-thru, he came back, with surveillance footage showing him pulling a gun and Howard saying that they threatened to kill him and used racial slurs. And I mean, my man Howard is just incredibly calm for someone recounting an incident where he could have died over a breakfast promotion.
To know that somebody would do something like that just because I'm trying to give you a better deal and just to flip out like that. Yes, I mean, it is scary. The whole time I was just like, well, if you're gonna do it, like you, I'm not about to run. You don't scare me or anything like that. Just do what you gotta do. And he just was kept blurting out racial slurs.
And Howard's saying that it was extra wild because he was pointing the gun over the car of an older lady. But also, hey, part of the reason that I'm sharing this story is not only to crown our douchebag of the day, but also because if you live in Cleveland, Ohio, or near it, local police need help identifying this guy, and they've shared some photos of the incident on Facebook, and reports noting that the suspect was driving a gray Honda. And then 9 people are dead, and well over 1,000 have been injured after a massive 7.4 earthquake rocked Taiwan today, with the epicenter being near Hualien County, which is on the eastern shore of the country, and about about 90 miles away from Taipei. But also because Taiwan's so small, I mean, it was felt pretty much everywhere. And hearing about the strength of this earthquake, it's one thing. To see it's completely different. And some of the footage from this is pretty crazy, like this poor guy who was stuck in a rooftop pool during it. Which, I mean, if that's me, that water's turning brown really quick. He's also really lucky he wasn't in this building's pool. But also, clips like that, they show how well built Taiwan is. Right? Because these buildings, they were getting violently shaken. Though that doesn't mean there wasn't damage. I mean, far from it. While again, 48 buildings were seriously damaged, some even collapsed. With the authorities right now still trying to figure out the exact economic damage. I mean, at minimum, there's infrastructure to repair, which can quickly get into the billions of dollars. But at the least, right, their small silver lining is that their major industries, like semiconductor fabrication, they don't seem to have been affected. Though, of course, this is also, there is a death toll here. And hopefully it does stay at just 9, but also there are rescue efforts still underway, and there's still over 1,000 people dealing with injuries of different severities. And then on top of that, there's also roughly 70 miners believed to be stuck in a quarry because of the earthquake. And overall, the numbers we're seeing with this, they're kind of a mixed bag. But on one hand, a 7.4 earthquake is not a joke. And in many parts of the world, it would lead to much, much more damage. But Taiwan gets earthquakes all the time, and it's actually built for them. So we had some expecting the numbers to actually be lower. But this ended up being a massive exception that caught the authorities completely off guard. Most of the earthquakes are like a small jolt that makes you feel alive. And officials apparently thought this was going to be one of those same things as usual, and so they didn't send out alerts, which meant that people didn't get to safer places while they experienced the biggest earthquake Taiwan has seen in 25 years. Also connected to this situation, we saw world leaders reaching out to express their condolences for all the lives lost in Taiwan, and notably with that, netizens in China expressing their opinions on the situation. While most were well-intentioned and concerned about those affected, which it shouldn't be too surprising, like the countries have, you know, ties, cultural, linguistic, familial ones. Those were, one, not completely unanimous takes, and notably, two, in stark contrast to how China normally talks about Taiwan, because they're pretty militant about wanting to reunify the country, which is also why we saw some people making their well wishes political jabs at Taiwan. Right? Some suggesting that the PLA go in to support, which is a multi-layered jab. You know, it's suggesting that the PLA invade while also repeating the Chinese rhetoric that Taiwan is just another province of the mainland, as the PLA often goes to Chinese disaster zones. You also had a fair share of people wishing only certain Taiwanese people be safe, saying, I hope everyone is safe except the Taiwan independent separatist forces. Or the more common, may the patriotic Chinese be safe. Because, you know, there's no better time to be a petty political dickhead than moments after a natural disaster. Definitely not disgusting weirdo behavior. And then, so celebrities in Hollywood are freaking out about AI, and understandably so in a number of avenues. It feels like every day there's another headline about another deepfake. Whether it be fake explicit images, fake promotions, fake songs. And well, as it turns out, they're actually fighting AI with AI. But for example, a new report from the LA Times noting that the talent agency WME, they've partnered with a Seattle-based company called Loti, which uses AI software to flag unauthorized videos or images and then works to remove that content. And according to the company's website, it scans over 100 million images and videos per day looking for abuse and other breaches. And according to Loti's co-founder, the partnership started a few months ago and some clients actually gave the company photos of themselves from different angles as well as audio recordings so that unauthorized content could be recognized. So of course, with this, there are going to be situations where, you know, unauthorized content, it just can't be taken down. It's the internet. That shit spreads like herpes. It just might not be obviously on display. Which is also why I had the founder, Luke Aragone, telling the outlet. There's this kind of growing feeling that it's an impossible problem. There's this almost adage now where people say, once it's on the internet, it's on the internet forever. Our whole company dispels that myth. But my counter argument to that is it doesn't. Unless you control the whole of the internet, and I'm just not aware, people will still have that content, people will still spread that content, but on the biggest and most important platforms, yes, you could probably limit it to some degree. But those are two drastically different things. And as we've talked about a lot on the show, it often ends in this game of whack-a-mole, where no one ever truly moves fast enough. And notably, all of this is happening as many voices in the industry are only making their concerns even louder. For example, recently, a group of 200 musicians just signing a letter to tech companies warning against AI use. And you had some big names backing it, like Billie Eilish, Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, the estates of Bob Marley and Frank Sinatra. And, you know, saying they believe there is a place for AI and that it can advance human creativity when used responsibly. But when used irresponsibly, AI poses enormous threats to our ability to protect our privacy, our identities, our music, and our livelihoods. And adding, the assault on human creativity must be stopped. We call on AI developers, technology companies, platforms, and digital music services to pledge that they will not develop or deploy AI music generation technology, content, or tools that undermine or replace the human artistry of songwriters and artists or deny us fair compensation for our work. But ultimately, we'll have to wait to see how this plays out, though I truly don't think that there's anything stopping AI. AI. Because as I always say to the point of annoyance, AI today in any facet, it is the worst that it will ever be. Which is why in theory, it makes sense to fight AI with AI. But you'll always be playing a game of catch up. And I think that human beings are very good at finding the exploits, the loopholes. But we'll see. No one really knows. We're dealing with this as it comes. And in the meantime, there's a lot of predictions happening.
And then,
so you know those Amazon Fresh grocery stores? Well, they just killed their just walkout checkouts, and the reason why is really interesting. Also, if you're not familiar with them, which wouldn't be crazy, they only have 44, I think, in the United States. They actually announced and first introduced this in 2016, with Amazon presenting it at the time as this amazing innovation using AI to eliminate checkout lines.
What would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line?
Right, so basically, you'd walk in, you scan a QR code, and then a combination of sensors and cameras will keep track of what you take and charge it to your account. But here's one of the things. While it seemed completely automated, it reportedly relied on more than 1,000 people in India watching and labeling videos to ensure accurate checkouts. And that was actually first reported by The Information last May. Though really, most people are just finding out about it now. And as you might find shocking, people on the internet had a lot to say. With one person calling it insanely dystopian, another calling it so creepy. But really, the most common thread between a lot of the comments was feeling kind of sort of deceived by Amazon's claim that this was all made possible by technology. Or with the same people calling it dystopian, calling Amazon out for billing it as some triumph of AI when in fact it relied on real human labor. But then on the flip side, you had people saying, you know, it's not that simple. With people explaining this is often how AI models are trained, with real people labeling data so that the model can learn to do it on its own. And among those, you had Aaron Erickson, a senior engineering manager at NVIDIA, saying, it isn't new or dystopian any more than having a plant to build a car in Mexico is. And also, you actually had Theo Waite, the guy who first reported on the role of these human reviewers, taking to Twitter to clear up the confusion. Which, in addition to the 1,000 people in India thing, included the finding that about 700 out of every 1,000 just walkout sales required human reviewers. And that's even though Amazon's target was to have that number be less than 50. And notably, Waite also confirmed that these reviewers' jobs included both training the model and validating customer purchases. With Waite also finding that the reliance on these human reviewers was part of the reason for some of the problems with the technology, like the fact that customers sometimes had to wait hours for their receipts. And we should also know that these numbers have been disputed by Amazon, though they didn't give different numbers, just simply claiming that human reviewers only validated a small minority of shoppers' visits. But all that said, as far as what happens from here, you have Amazon instead pushing a solution called Dash Carts, which are basically just shopping carts with a built-in screen and scanner. And notably, while the Just Walkout technology is being killed, it's not being completely killed. Let's call it instead a maiming. With it being said that a small number of Amazon Fresh stores in the UK, as well as some Amazon Go convenience stores, will have it. And interestingly enough, it's actually being implemented in some baseball stadiums in the States. And so when I hear that, it really feels like more of a scale issue. Like, I have to imagine it's just infinitely harder to track an entire full-ass grocery store than, you know, someone's shopping cart or a small section of an area. Because the concept is still interesting, and in, let's say, like a place like a baseball stadium, some of those lines for food, they get ginormous. So having an alternative in-out solution, that just makes sense. But I'll leave it there, and I'll pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts with this, or even what are your experiences with it?
And then,
finally, today, we have announcements and comment commentary. Starting with congratulations again to the several winners of our weekly $500 giveaway towards any available tickets on SeatGeek. Like, a SeatGeek and the Daily Dip are giving away up to $1,000 in tickets every week just for a few more weeks, so you definitely don't want to miss out. Especially because entering couldn't be easier. You just add code PDS to your SeatGeek app profile for a chance to win the weekly $500 prize, no purchase necessary. And $1,000 prizes are available to Daily Dip subscribers who add code PDS newsletter to double entries and winning. Also, I just want to say on the note of cool interactions, something that gave me a new appreciation for the show and also like this final segment. Last night, as I was leaving trivia, one of you beautiful bastards actually came up to me and was like, hey, one, so happy to meet you. But also two, I just had to let you know that the reason we're here at this trivia night is that we started going out to trivia nights because you did that whole segment and that whole like rant about third places, right? Whether it be rediscovering fun or just getting out and doing more things. And as an often inside all the time, except when I'm hiking or doing trivia person, it was so awesome to see something that I said in a video actually have a real impact on someone that was right in front of me. And it got my mind all started on like, what else could we talk about and or do together? Whether it's like dedicating a certain day to try and like go hike or do a new activity. We could come up with maybe some sort of a hashtag where we can kind of just see each other passing by with the hashtag on social media. But I'm not locking that in because I'm always horrified of starting a new thing that I'm just going to abandon. But anyway, that was just a really cool experience for me. let's get into those comments. Which I will say, there were no shortage of comments around that Charlie Moyse critical situation, or those stupid accusations against him regarding him giving away money to fans, or where he even went into explaining, like, even if what they were accusing him was true, that he was somehow going to write off the money he was giving to fans, that he was still losing money. And so we saw people like Moorpart saying, as an actual tax professional, the amount of tax experts I see are ridiculous. If I responded to everyone claiming their fraud is a tax strategy, I'd never sleep. Which I will say, that's like half of the finance content I see on TikTok. It's just people like, so you do this and this and this. And I'm like, I think that's three crimes you just explained. Like, homie, there might be IRS agents on this app. And your profile name's your full name. While there's a lot of generally bad advice, there's a lot of just incorrect advice regarding like tax write-offs for content creators. So if you are one, do not guess. Get an accountant. Oftentimes, even if you think you can't afford one, they will save you more and also protect you more importantly. And oftentimes from your misunderstandings. We also had Cryptic Corgi saying, I hate this mentality online where showing kindness online is seen as showing off or somehow devalues the good act. Like if kindness became a trendy thing to do, I'm not against it. All the same, the world is better, whether they upload their good deeds or not. They deserve that recognition even. With Danny G joking and responding saying, yeah, but all those people receiving extremely helpful and sometimes life-changing gifts are not me. So there's something wrong here and I am mad. Also, I'll say in those comments, I saw a lot of conversation and a lot of back and forth around those 7 aid workers from World Central Kitchen, which were killed by the Israeli military. With Titanium Teddy Bear saying, so Netanyahu wants us to believe that his bombs are so accurate that no civilians are being killed, but also that those aid workers were hit by accident after they specifically told the Israeli forces where they were going to be. Saying that his story is hard to believe is putting it very mildly. Though to that, you had some like SuperCrazP saying, it doesn't mean that they didn't aim at those cars. Ever heard of friendly fire? It's when you mistake a friend for a foe. These cars were obviously accidentally targeted. Doesn't mean the bombs aren't accurate. Truly tragic. Though to that, you had people like Mystery saying they hit 3 separate sites to get that death toll. And Insulin saying, what are you talking about? The 3 vehicles were hit in a 1.5-mile stretch. That's from the first one to the last one. They were clearly marked vehicles. IDF knew of their positions and purpose. They were hit along quite a distance. How is this still an accident? And with all this, you had Crunchy Scorpio talking about the domino effect we're seeing from this attack, noting that because of it, helpers are now withdrawing, which means less aid and less food for those that will starve. And then finally, we had some people sharing their opinions and experiences with Semaglutide, Wegovy, Ozempic, because we did that dive into the controversies, but also the new findings. With Lucia saying, as a diabetic and Ozempic user, it was very frustrating to me when this medication and other medications were being touted as the Hollywood diet. And saying, a year ago, I went without it for over a month because none of the pharmacies in my area could get it in stock. And adding, once I was finally able to get it refilled, my prescription insurance initially denied it because my doctor had to recertify me as a diabetic. My costs went from $70 for 90 days to $120 for 30 days. By the end of the year, I had to temporarily reduce my dosage so that it would have enough until my benefits restarted in 2024. I fear that these new uses will again place my life at risk as the medicines either go through shortages or price increases. And to that, we saw people like Kyler BD saying, it will and it's not going to stop. Obesity is the single worst health crisis in the country and Ozempic treats obesity very well. And with that, we also saw people like the Hestia responding, the problem isn't people who need medicine using medicine. It's companies making medicine, not making enough. Obesity kills too. People who struggle getting rid of excess weight through other means can change their lives with this medicine. It will save lives. They need to make more. A lot of medicine that is many decades old is used for a variety of health conditions too. I think it's actually quite rare that medicine is only prescribable for one condition. But then people like Liberty India Rose saying, I'm sorry, it's insane how many people, including people commenting, do not understand the consequences of not treating diabetes properly. And Blue Star Child saying, as an RN who works at a primary care, the amount of these weight loss injectables being prescribed are crazy. Most of these, like Ozempic, you have to have a diagnosis of diabetes to get. And adding right now, there are only 2 or 3 approved for pure weight loss like Wegovy. And in my area, those are all on back order. I get frustrated with my doctors for sending these scripts knowing they'll not get them. But that right there is where today's show is gonna end. I love yo faces and I'll see you tomorrow. You on my mind a lot. Don't need no time watch. I don't know how I got you in my pocket spot. Yeah, that's babe, need you every day. You light my oxygen.